Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Monday evenings, U.S. Eastern Time, as we explore homeopathy and facial analysis, a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke and Grant Bentley, homeopath and naturopath. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I'm speaking with our co-host, Grant Bentley, Australian homeopath and specialist in the facial analysis method. Today is April 2nd, 2012. We're right into the spring season, and I would like to wish everyone happy holidays, whatever they are celebrating, whether you're going to be celebrating Easter or Passover. I don't know if there are any other holidays this season. I didn't look into it very deeply, but I think that it is a time of renewal, of reevaluation, of getting it together and working in unity to promote homeopathy. And whether you are new to homeopathy or have been studying for many, many years, you're going to find this information innovative and a great addition to your healing toolbox. Please help us by tweeting, sending a message in your email, linking on Facebook, and sharing on all social networks to let other folks know about this opportunity to listen and learn together. So we have about 30 minutes to our regular series, and Grant is on the line with us, and I wish you well. And I'm ready to learn some more about acutes and chronics.
Yeah, hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good, thank God. Does it sound okay
so
today?
You can hear me? Yeah. Sorry?
I think we might have a slight delay, but your sound is okay.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, because there was just a little crackly this end, so I didn't know how we would be going, but... Yeah, I thought what we would do is just, we were going to touch on acutes and chronics last time, and we kind of got a little diverted, which was good. I mean, it ended up a good session anyway, but I thought I'd just go back to the acutes and chronics, because in a lot of ways it's very, very important to understand the difference between acute and chronic, even though I know that it might sound very, very basic. It's actually pivotal to how you conduct the entire case. And really, it's also just as important for your case management, because the expectations between what you can achieve and what time frames you can achieve it with acute and chronic are vastly different from one another. So the thing that about the acute and chronic is understanding where they actually come from. So I thought what I'd do is just define a little bit what acute and chronic actually is, and that way what we can do then is that we can understand how we need to modify our practice in accordance to whatever it is that the patient is exhibiting. For example, if we're going to start with a definition of acute disease, I think one of the most basic ways that we can do acute disease is that I understand the Hahnemannian view, and that is that it's a self-limiting disease. It lasts for a short period of time, and there is a reasonably quick prodromal period. And at the end of the disease itself, the person is either still breathing or they're not. I mean, that's just the basic outcome of it. But another way of understanding it is not so much just through time, but through infection. Because when you look at acute disease, the thing that you notice is that it is an external life force, meaning a virus, a bacteria, and something like that. And what it's doing is that it is invading our internal economy, and it's capitalizing and utilizing our energy for its life. Now, everything does this. I mean, it's not it will have negative consequences, but, I mean, you can't blame the virus or bacteria for this. This is a competitive world. The moment that we come into this life and materialize, we are self-limited in our energy. So the only way that we can keep our energy levels going is through the exploitation and capitalization of other life forms. That's just the way that it is. We need to eat and we need to do a range of different things to keep our energy levels up. And so we the only way we can achieve that is by, like I said, capitalizing on the energy of other life forms. And viruses and bacteria are doing exactly the same thing. That's how all material life works. So what a good way of looking at acute disease, particularly in modern life, is that it is an external life force that is coming into our system and it's using our energy and our resources for its own intents and purposes to keep itself going. So that means then that that external life force needs to be expelled from the body. So the senilimum is going to become really important. We've spoken about how homeopathy is really just the medicalization of the laws of nature that exist in a variety of different ways. Now you can see these ways, these methods in the writings of Newton. You can see it in particle physics. You can see it in magnets. So it's not as if all of a sudden Hahnemann invented this. It's something that already exists, and that is the basic laws of attraction and repulsion. And so the repulsion is generally met when two similar energies meet in a confined space without any buffer, like, say, a neutron. Once you've got a buffer there, you can live in this confined space. But when there is no buffer there, then the stronger positive disease or the stronger positive energy will push aside the weaker one. This is where the combination of both understanding the law of similars as well as the infinitesimal dose, that is potency, this is where it becomes absolutely vital to understand all these things. So what we have is that the law of similars trying to come up with an energy that is the same so we can repel the weaker one is achieved through the sum total of the signs and symptoms. Notice that what we're not talking about here is that we are not trying to find a central delusion or anything like this. There's not one central core to understanding a person's character. We're talking about forces of nature. So the way that Hahnemann came up with understanding what amplitudes and frequencies or life force exist within the virus or bacteria is by the sum total of the signs and symptoms that they produce on the body. If we can replicate those same set of signs and symptoms as closely as what we possibly can, then we come up with a similar charge or a similar energy. And the true, going back to the way that nature works, is that these two similar energies under the forces of repulsion will repel each other. So what we do then is that we need to make our remedy, what Hahnemann calls in the Organon, the artificial morbific agent. So the morbific agent is the actual germ. The artificial morbific agent is the remedy that we had synthesized. So in a lot of ways, we are not a natural medicine. We're completely synthetic in that sense. So we synthesize a remedy. We know by the totality, because of the proving, that it will have a similar charge or energy or force to the bacteria or virus that we're laboring under. But through the mechanism of potency, we can make our charge or similar force stronger than the weaker similar force and repel it from the body. So that is how essentially homeopathic remedies work in acute disease. And it's vital that we understand that mechanism, But what happens, I think, is that Hahnemann ended up, we touched on this a little bit last time, that Hahnemann then put that, well, look, if that's what's happening in acute disease, and we can see that there are certain chronic diseases that last a lifetime, then what we should be able to do is that we should be able to expel those chronic diseases from the body as well. So what he did is that he started with this miasm theory, the chronic disease theory. And that is that essentially what he's trying to do is exactly the same as with acute disease. He is trying to come up with some remedies that are going to be the similimum for the invading chronic disease this time, tuberculosis, syphilis, whatever it is, and then be able to expel it from the body. So Hahnemann said that in the end, all chronic diseases came down to three in origin. We came down with sore, psychosis, and syphilis. Everything else is a manifestation of that, regardless of what labels you decide to put on it. So not only, so in a sense, what we have is our own Hahnemannian or homeopathic germ theory, where all ill health and all manifestations come down to an underlying invading agent. So acute disease is this external invader of the short duration where we either live or we die. So the only thing that we need to do in acute disease is that we need to look at the changes that have taken place from the ordinary. So I said before that I wanted to not only talk about this, but I want to talk about the practical application or the implications of what this means. When you have a patient sitting in front of you, and they are suffering from measles or scarlet fever, you do not have to go into anything, well, tell me about your character or what are your likes or dislikes or anything like this. In fact, all of the early authors are very, they make absolutely sure that the reader understands that the only things of concern in the treatment of an acute disease is the acute manifestations or repercussions of that disease, meaning that you do not confuse chronic symptoms with acute symptoms. So if someone's got a bad back and they've had a bad back for years or they suffer from migraine, excuse me, you don't put in scarlet fever and you don't put in high temperature and you don't put in restlessness alongside migraines and lumbago, because you're now mixing a chronic with an acute repertorization, and that's not the way to do it. The only thing that needs to be concerned with in the treatment of acute disease is the acute symptoms only. All the things that you've had for a while, which means that the practitioner, when the patient's sitting in front of you and they're saying, and also too, my back is absolutely aching, the only question that at this stage that the practitioner has to say to that patient is this an ongoing symptom or is this only been since you have been sick in the last week? If they turn around and say, well, look, no, it's an ongoing symptom, but it's been worse since I've been sick, you disregard that. The reason for that is because our weak areas are always going to play up and be worse when we are sick or we're run down. So as a result of that, what we conclude is that, let's just say it's scarlet fever. The scarlet fever is weakening this person's internal energy, which is exacerbating a chronic symptom. So because it is a chronic symptom, we don't take that into account when we're treating the acute disease. Acute disease repertorization is only what has taken place in the last couple of weeks, and that's all. Now, in a lot of ways, while I understand that there are many books around talking about it's about the patient, not the disease, That is true, but it's primarily true in chronic disease rather than acute. And we have historical accounts for why I'm saying this. Because the major historical account is, one, is homeopathic prophylaxis, and the second one is genus epidemicus remedy. Now, in homeoprophylaxis, then we are not taking individual susceptibility, we are not taking idiosyncrasy, we are not taking personality into account. If we just stick with the scarlet fever, for example, if we go back to Hahnemann's treatise on scarlet fever, he doesn't talk anywhere there about the character or the nature or the PQRSs of the patient. What he's doing is that this is solely about the disease itself. And so he knows that the belladonna is the similimum to the disease, not the similimum to the patient. And so in that way, the disease itself seems to take primary objective in what it is that we're trying to treat. And that's not surprising, because that's what we're trying to repel. So the similimum has to be as close as possible to the disease that we are trying to repel from the body. So the characters and the basic personality, together with the modalities and PQRS of the patient, are less relevant in the treatment of acute disease than they are in chronic disease. That's not to say that if it was glaringly obvious that this patient suffering from scarlet fever needed mercury rather than, say, sulfur, for example, or belladonna. For example, what I mean by that is that if this patient, rather than having the hot head and the cold feet, had the burning, peeling feet and the temperature itself of the face and the forehead were quite cool, then we would have to swap the belladonna over for the sulfur, because it is a glaring pointer for the sulfur rather than the belladonna. So we're not saying that some idiosyncrasy does not take place, but it's rarer. And that's why genus epidemicus remedies and homeoprophylaxis are effective, because they are targeting the disease itself. When we come to chronic disease, and please feel free to jump in with any questions at any time, but when we come to chronic disease, now we're looking at a different species entirely, and this is where it's important for the practitioner to understand it, because chronic disease is more than a set of signs and symptoms that just have a long duration. Chronic disease itself can be divided into two different sections. Now, this second section that I'm talking about is a complement or an addition to the homeopathic model, and it is the basis of HFA. So while it is slightly different, I don't want to emphasize its difference, meaning that people are suddenly now thrown into a confusion of which bit of homeopathy actually works. It's not like that. It's not that different. What we're talking about is a complement to the existing Hahnemannian system. The Hahnemannian system is all about an extension on the acute disease theory. If an acute disease creates an acute set of signs and symptoms, says Hahnemann, then a chronic disease, theoretically, should be caused by a chronic infection or a disease that just is not self-limited but continues. So when he looked around at the different diseases, infections, that were not self-limited but continued for the lifetime of the patient, he saw things like leprosy, which he said was the forerunner of SORA. Yes, he also does talk about cradle cap and scabies and all these sort of things, but make no mistake, if you read chronic diseases, He is saying that leprosy is the origin, and scabies and cradle cap and all these other things are the manifestations of latent sore. So then he talks about psychosis or gonorrhea, and then he then talks about the syphilis as well. So you have three biological origins of these chronic diseases. Because what Hahnemann has seen is that if two similars like magnets, and he talks about magnets a bit, if the two poles of the magnet repel, and this is the force that we're talking about inside the homeopathic remedy, the law of attraction and repulsion, if we're going to utilize this law of repulsion, how else could homeopathy work in a chronic sense? It works that way in an acute sense, so therefore it must work that way in a chronic sense. He must have seen enough success treating people in his lifetime. Now, remember, of course, there was a syphilis epidemic that was going on and all sorts of things. So when there is a biological origin, when there is a biological origin to the chronic disease, then there is something to expel. But there is more to it than that. And this is what I just want to talk about now. There's a complex...
I'll jump in here. I find it fascinating that really it comes down to basic physics. And in our time today, in contemporary life, I don't think you can go anywhere without hearing people talk about utilizing the law of attraction to benefit their life in some way. They're not talking about it homeopathically because they don't know homeopathy, but they're talking about it in terms of bringing goodwill, bringing better relationships, finding a lover, getting wealthy, the law of abundance, all of these things. People are really talking the language of the law of attraction. And it would be fantastic if they can make the little jump or leap over to think of it medically as homeopathic care. And that would be a fantastic message that we could get out there. And then looking at, as you said, infection, we think of infection as this material, foreign matter that is attacking the body that we're not able to cure ourselves, except some people will think about something like garlic or echinacea or astragalus in herbal form, but they're not going to the level that you are of the inner core of the similimum. Does that give you anything to talk about from what I'm thinking?
Yes, okay. I've never fully understood what is so difficult to understand about the mechanism of how homeopathy works. I mean, people turn around, and even homeopaths are guilty of this themselves. They sit down there and they say, well, look, I'm not really sure how it works. I mean, even Hahnemann turns around and he says, I'm not 100% sure I can tell you the mechanism of how it works, but it just does. And so what we've done is we've accepted this non-knowing of how homeopathy works and kind of placing it into a belief, but a belief that is substantiated, not a blind faith, but a faith that is backed on the fact that at least we see enough patients to validate it, but I can't explain it any further than that. See, I've never understood that. I mean, when we have people like when you put two magnets together, or you've got things like particle physics, where we already know that attraction and repulsion and binding or joining, fusion, these are the three forces that govern all physical life. that I don't understand why we just, if we apply those same forces, attraction, repulsion and fusion, you end up with solar psychosis and syphilis and how everything works. I don't see the big deal, all the confusion over it. Sorry.
Well, no, that's good. I think that because you're living it and you've studied it and it's so much a part of your vocabulary and the fact that you have seen so many hundreds, if not thousands of cases and the action of the principles that you're teaching, having it work for you, you're fairly confident. But I think of many humans as being having that doubt as almost a form, I'm not saying that you're proud or anything, but you're confident because you work with it and you know it works. And this is the principles you're talking about. But most people, I would say, have this piece of humility of not knowing something in order to have that 100% confident level. Because if you're talking about something that is in such an infinitesimal dose that you cannot see it with the naked eye, then you don't have the self-proving. You don't have the self-observation to say, I see it under a microscope or I see it happening for me in all levels, you know, manifesting in all levels. And so that little bit of doubt says, well, you know, I believe this. I'm making a leap of faith that this is the way it is, but I can't say for sure because maybe tomorrow somebody's going to come up with another. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's right. You can't say that. But when you've got, this whole idea that the skeptical claim that science just simply does not back up the concept of homeopathy, then homeopathy is simply the laws that govern. Look, when we talk about attraction and repulsion, then every scientist that it's the basis of all physics is the laws of attraction and repulsion. We know, look, occasionally there are variances. Is it a particle? Is it a wave? And perhaps there's quarks and there's all sorts of things. But if we just let's just stick to the basic particle model, even if it isn't like planets revolving around the sun, they're kind of tourist ideas. The central idea, however, is that there is a positive charge, a neutral charge, and there is a negative charge. The positive will attract the negative charge, which is the law of attraction. And then you have that if two positive charges, two protons, are forced into a confined space, generally, you know, this is in supernovas and all these other things that we don't need to concern ourselves with. But so the mechanism of how is less important. But the what is that if the two positive charges are forced together into a confined space, in which case for us is the human body, then these two positive charges will repel each other unless there is a neutral charge to neutralize or act as a wall or buffer between them. And the stronger will repel the weaker. This is what Hahnemann is saying. This is what Newton is saying. Okay, we may not be able, people have not grasped the fact that we can apply these same laws to homeopathy, but we know that they exist. We know they exist when you stick something in the microwave, when you turn the light on. These are the same forces that science is utilizing every single day to make just household appliances in our life a little bit more easy, supposedly. But that's a whole different thing. But those same forces that underpin all of how life works is just being observed and put into different terminology when we read the organon. That's all that it is. So when you're talking about two different or dissimilar diseases and, you know, two similar diseases and all of these sort of things, and I know the way that Hahnemann writes can make your head spin. But the simple fact of the matter is when he's saying two dissimilar diseases can't live in the same body at the same time, and he goes on and on, you can just turn that around into other terms and you can say this is the law of attraction and repulsion. Or you can say when two similar diseases, they can't exist in the same body, you just say this is the law of repulsion. And so we're seeing this, and we spoke once before about fractal patterning, and we were talking about how nature is very economical. It uses the same blueprint over and over and over again. If you understand that basic blueprint, you can apply it to anything. You can apply it to electricity and mechanics, and you can apply it to homeopathy. It's the same laws. Because, look, this is the thing we've got to get our head around. Everything is made up of the three particles of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Everything. Everything material in the entire universe is made up of those three particles. So the laws that apply to those three particles will exist in any form of ology or science that you wish to put a name to it. You can call it physics or you can call it homeopathy. But the simple fact of the matter is that the laws are the same, and they have to be because everything is made up of those three things. So the laws that are applying to protons, neutrons, and electrons, which are essentially the laws of attraction, repulsion, and fusion or bonding. And so if you can understand these laws, you can not only fly to the moon, but you can get the simulacrum and understand how it works. It's not a great leap. And so
okay.
I guess what I'm saying...
it's marvelous, and I love listening to you speak about it. And it makes perfect sense. And I think everybody's got to be clapping in agreement with you in this theory, which I think we know and are confident in. I think on the next show or something, I want you to take us to the next level. And I think the problem that people have is when I go to the wall and I turn off and on the switch, I expect the light to go on and off. But when I pick a remedy, I don't always know for sure that remedy is going to turn off that disease or illness or symptom. And that's where the unsureness comes in selecting the remedy.
I understand that. But I'm gonna whet your appetite for next week by saying that there is definitely a way that you can limit those failures. Now, I know that everybody says this. Every homeopath that's out there says, I'm going to teach you a better way of practice. So I know that I'm just one of the cacophony of voices out there, but I'm going to... It takes a mental shift of what it is that you're trying to achieve. Now, once you understand what it is that you're trying to achieve, the rest will start to fall in line. So what about if we start, because we've done mainly acute this time, and what it is that we're doing with our acute remedy. We are laws of magnets, or two positive charges, or two protons, forced into a confined space. The laws of repulsion are that the similar or same energies are going to push each other away. The stronger one is the one that wins. So we potentize our stronger simulacrum to push the invader from our body. That's how it works. So what we'll do next week is that I want to talk about chronic disease, because that's far more important, at least in for the Western homeopath who sees that most dominantly. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the two types of chronic disease, because this is the addition to Hardiman that I want to talk about, and it will make a huge difference to what it is that you're trying to do.
Okay, that sounds great. And I want to tell folks where they can learn a lot more about studying with you, asking you questions, even if they want a consultation for themselves, friend or family, they want to refer you, or they want to get started in learning this method, that they can go to www.vcch.org And on the left-hand column, there's a whole menu of selections from learning about the college, learning about what the training program is, in general, learning a bit more about homeopathy itself, the consultations, and the research that you've done into miasms. There's a whole range of videos and podcasts. You can even play around with analyzing your photo and use the facial wizard. You've created your own computer program, and you can order books and read about testimonials. So there's a wealth of information right on your own website. And for folks who want to, do you want to give them your any other way to contact you?
Well, look, no, the website is the main one, the www.vtch.org, which is on the screen at the moment. And like you said, there are a number of services there. We do classes, and a lot of these classes are recorded too. So we offer recorded classes where people can sign up for these and just watch them at their own pace. And also, too, just a little bit of a reminder that with this method and the way that I do it, most of my patients are North American at the moment. So this is the benefit of understanding all of the forces of nature, is we can invent things like Skype and make homeopathy, which uses those same forces, available to people all around the world.
Yes, I did tell you that everybody's talking about the law of attraction, so you must be attracting them right here in North America. Also, I want folks to know.
Yeah, I certainly am.
I would like folks to know that on Homeopathy World Community, there's, if you click on the right hand column, there's a photograph of Grant. Click it, and you'll get to the group HFA Homeopathy Facial Analysis. And I've listed there the many, many shows. I guess today is show number 16. We've been doing it for quite some time. And I want to thank all of the folks who came in to the live video stream this morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. It was our second live video show with Dr. Deepak Sharma, and we kind of were on the edge talking about sex and pornography and all sorts of stuff, because he, Grant, you wouldn't believe, in 2 months, he had over 200 patients who came in with dreams of snakes, and he was trying to figure out what is going on in society. And he thinks it's this overstimulation of people going on the porn sites on the internet and just so much stuff out there today. And then on Wednesday, we have our radio show with Dr. Adil Chimthalawala-Kasim, and he is out teaching until April 25th, and on Thursday at 11, Christina Chambreau continues teaching us how we care for our pets, and following that, a very important topic, vaccinations and your rights, with Alan Phillips, attorney at law. I think we constantly have new information in regard to what is going on with our rights and freedoms and current events. So we look forward to having you back again, Grant, next Monday night, and it's 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and for you, it's Wednesday in the morning?
Tuesday in the morning.
Tuesday in the morning. Okay. So I want to again thank you, and we're going to close the show for tonight, and we will see you next week. Okay. Take care.
Homeopathy and Facial Analysis on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brook and Grant Bentley. We encourage you to follow our show. Click the reminder button to receive email notices when shows air. Share with friends on Facebook and MySpace and also Twitter. We welcome your comments and questions. See you next time.